Greetings from the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary of Wichita. Welcome to the fifth day of our 21st novena, annual novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This year's theme is Walking with Mary on the Path to Holiness. Thank you for joining us. At the conclusion of this talk, I will lead you in our novena prayer. Let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The topic for tonight's talk is True Devotion, Living Through, With, For, and in Mary. In these prepositions, we find a description of different aspects of what it is to have an interior disposition that is devoted to Our Lady. So we're talking about more than external devotion. External devotion is included, but what we're going to talk about tonight is more the interior disposition, what it is to live devoted, totally belonging to Our Lady. So to begin with, through Mary, true devotion to Our Lady is a way of life. The phrase, to Jesus through Mary, was popularized by St. Louis de Montfort, whose writings and consecration preparation have gained popularity in recent years. To understand how to live through Mary, as in all things Marian, we go to Jesus. Jesus was the first person to go through Mary. He could have chosen to redeem us in any number of ways. What did he choose, though? The most perfect way. He's God. He chose the most perfect way, which was to come through Mary. If there were a better way for him to come to us, he would have come that way. He chose to come through Our Lady because it's the best way. People who denigrate our Heavenly Mother are insulting Christ, saying that he himself chose a less than perfect way to come to us, as if any of us would know better. We need to trust him and imitate him in all things. He came through her. At the visitation, he came to John the Baptist through Mary, and John the Baptist encountered Jesus through Mary. This pattern of through Mary follows through all ages. So in imitation of our Lord, we go to him through her. He has shown us that she is the perfect bridge between us and God. She's not a go-between, someone we must talk to because we can't go to Jesus directly, but rather she acts as a bridge that connects, someone who facilitates a stronger relationship with our Lord. We need her to assist us in approaching our Lord, and Our Lady helps us to overcome all blindnesses that hinder our trust in our Lord. So what does this look like in our daily spiritual life? Through Mary gives directionality to our lives. We allow her to lead us. And where does she lead us? Always, only, ever, to Jesus. She is incapable of anything else, so there's nothing to fear with following her unquestioningly. We offer all of ourselves and all we have to our Lord through Mary. And what does she do with what we offer? She clothes our offering with her love. It's not that our offering isn't good enough. Jesus would accept anything that we desire to give him, but Our Lady assists us in offering ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, and giving it to him unreservedly. She makes it easier and more peaceful. She grants clarity of vision, so we see how the love of our Lord overshadows what he is asking, and we give out of desire and love rather than out of cold obligation. She teaches us who our Lord is, mercy and love, and this enables us to give our lives more totally to him. A few examples illustrate my next point. One of our sisters had to have surgery a while ago, and she wanted to wear her brown scapular into the operating room. She asked various technicians who prepped her for surgery, but none of them answered her. They didn't want to tell her no, and they didn't think they could tell her yes. Finally, a nurse arrived, we'll call her Anne, and when she was asked, she said sister could wear her scapular, and if anyone questioned it, to tell them that Anne said she could. Another example, sometimes when I'm running late, I wish I had a police escort so that traffic would clear for me and I could have permission to speak. There are several times. We sisters have various stories of people letting us in the back way, showing us a shortcut, or security guards letting us into places that normally are not open to the public at shrines or churches. As I was reflecting on this talk, I was thinking that Our Lady is very much like the nurse in the hospital, or a police escort, or like so many individuals that have assisted us throughout the years. She clears obstacles. She makes the way smoother. She finds paths that we could never have known on our own. I surrender my will to hers, trusting that her way is better, smoother, more perfect, and leads directly to Jesus. She shows me how to surrender to Christ as he wills, when he wills, as long as he wills, in the way he wills. This is what it means to go through Mary. We surrender our will to her, and she teaches us how to be perfectly docile to our Lord. As we see at the wedding at Cana, the result is miraculous. We are called to live with Mary. Through Mary gives directionality. With Mary is about her presence. This might seem simple, but it really is a profound way of living. As with the aspect of through Mary, our Lord is the one who lived with her most perfectly. We could spend much time meditating on their life together at Nazareth, and throughout all of Jesus' life. And then at the cross, Jesus points us to St. John the Beloved in this aspect of Marian devotion, living life with Mary. Growing up, when I heard the gospel account of the crucifixion, I always thought it was beautiful to picture John the Beloved taking Mary into his home. After Jesus says, "Beloved, behold your mother." In my Hispanic family, all of my relatives had multiple images of Our Lady in home, in the car, on their persons. Her motherly presence has always been very real to me. I grew up knowing she was watching me, that I welcomed her into my home, and when I went to college, I made sure I had an image of her in my dorm room. This is good and beautiful, but in recent years, Pope Benedict has been a catalyst to bring me further into this aspect of living with Mary. A few years ago, I came across a homily by Pope Benedict about John and Mary at the foot of the cross. Benedict said that the common translation, "from that hour the disciple took her into his home," fell short of a fuller meaning of this passage. He said that John took her into his inner life. Upon further research from Pope Benedict and St. John Paul as well, I found that the original Greek states that Jesus took her into his own. Into his own means all that John can count as his own. His concerns, his worries, his work, friends, loved one, his responsibilities. From that hour, John didn't just welcome Our Lady into his home to live with him, which would have been quite impressive. He received her as his mother, totally, into his own. That is what it is to live with Mary. Of course, this affects how I live. Imagine how saying Mass for her would have affected how St. John the Beloved said Mass. Praying with her would have affected how he prayed, all in a profoundly positive way. In her presence, I can follow her lead, lean on her, imitate her in all things. Aware of her presence, I will be less likely to say things that I will regret later. She shows me how to interact with and approach our Lord and others. She prompts me to express love, kindness, to be gentle, to see others as she does. She protects, guides, assists, and lovingly mothers us. She gently points out moment by moment, this way, this moment, this time. It's very personal, very specific. All of my own is hers. My concerns, worries, dreams, desires, loved ones, work, joys, sorrows, everything, it's hers. She is with me in all of life. I am never alone, I'm never unnoticed, and I am always loved. So through Mary gives directionality. With Mary is about her presence. For Mary concerns purpose or motivation. Living for Mary makes devotion to Mary practical. In movements such as the Militia Immaculata or the Legion of Mary, interior devotion bursts forth into loving, fruitful service. For Mary is the motivation and purpose of all of our apostolic endeavors as IHM sisters, such as this novena. As always, our Lord is a perfect example of living for Mary. My favorite t-shirt design for our high school formation group for girls, the Handmaids of Mary, was from a few years ago. On the back of the shirt is a drawing of Jesus as a toddler reaching up to hand Mary a flower and Mary bending down to receive it from him. The caption underneath the drawing reads, "Devotion to Mary began with Jesus." He would have delighted, as any child does, in offering things to his mother to show her he loves her. I've recently been reading the writings of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and everything he wrote, everything he did, was marrying. Over and again in his journals are entries such as, "I'm feeling ill, and I know the journey will be taxing, but the Immaculata wants it." That's the end of the debate. Mary wants it. He could and would do anything for her. Love of her helped him to overcome all his human weakness and follow through with what he knew was our Lord's will, which is what made him a saint. The desire to live for Mary is what has given rise to so many beautiful Marian devotions. Shrines, statues, processions, wearing medals and scapulars, praying rosaries, May crownings. These are all examples of doing things for Our Lady, for her honor, to spread devotion to her. She is honored, and the faithful receive beautiful formation that raises awareness of what it is to be her child. For Mary also purifies our intention. Whenever we're involved in serving, there will come a time when we are disheartened and we struggle with feelings of defeat or failure. If I am working to get a lot of people to show up to an event, or if I'm working for a certain outcome, a visible outcome, yes, I will experience failure, and this failure will be difficult to handle. It will feel as if my efforts were mistaken, that I had made a mistake to undertake this project, or perhaps it would be better if I just quit and let someone else try. With success, I can experience harmful pride. If, however, I do everything for Mary, I can trust in the fruit regardless of the visible outcome. I will have more energy for troubleshooting and adjusting because I'm not weighted down by worldly pressure. When success comes, if I was truly working for Mary, this intention can save me from pride. The success is hers, not mine, and I grow in dependency and trust and gratitude in her rather than growing in unhealthy pride and self-reliance. I don't work to impress others, or for fame, or for various types of visible improvement, but for you, my mother. Do with this what you will, Mary. Bring it to richer fruit than I ever could on my own. You can make success out of failure. You can touch hearts more deeply than I ever could without you. It's yours, and I do it for you. So living through Mary gives direction. Living with Mary is about her presence. Living for Mary gives us purpose and motivation. Finally, living in Mary. This nurtures us in the depths of our souls. When we live in Mary, we find within her heart a place where we can abide. In her heart, we find peace, safety, and rest. And as with every other aspect of devotion to Our Lady, to learn how to live in Mary, we absolutely must turn to our Lord. All of Jesus' life is valuable for contemplation, to study and imitate every moment of his life, even those not explicitly described in Scripture. Pope Paul VI, among others, wrote and preached eloquently about what he called the School of Nazareth, the life of the Holy Family while Jesus was growing up. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus chose the most perfect way to redeem us, becoming a baby and spending 30 years in family life before beginning his public ministry. We can go back to his infancy and even further to contemplate our Lord in the womb of Our Lady. We ponder his conception in the womb of our Blessed Mother every solemnity of the Annunciation on March 25th, every time we pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, every time we pray the Angelus. None of our Lord's time on earth was wasted, not even the time he spent in Our Lady's womb. And so we go to him seeking to know what it is to live in Mary. It's peaceful. It's a peaceful darkness, totally receptive. He was totally dependent on her for everything. All he knew was safety, rest, nourishment, all provided by Our Lady. In her, his heart became stronger, and he grew into an ever more mature being. This was his time of most rapid physical growth, from a single cell to a newborn baby. In Mary, we can receive all of these things: safety, rest, nourishment, growth, formation of our hearts. We can learn how to experience peace and trust in darkness. St. Maximilian Kolbe wrote about contemplating our Lord in the womb of our Blessed Mother. Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared with our Lord. Where was he? In her womb. So we can spend some time contemplating this mystery that our Lord became this small for us, what he received from Our Lady, and what this teaches us about devotion to her. Jesus told us, unless you become like a little child, Therese popularized the treasures of spiritual childhood, and these lessons run deep, and we can fittingly say that we want to be as dependent and trusting on our Lord and Our Lady as a child is, or even an infant or a babe in the womb. So how do we approach this mystery of living in Mary, being wholly dependent on her, receiving profoundly from her? Well, living in Mary is receptive. It's a gift. So we foster the desire, we ask for it, we seek it with hearts full of hope. Ask Our Lady and Our Lord to teach you how to be as receptive to Our Lady as Jesus was. Open your heart to receive this gift and contemplate our Lord's dependence on Our Lady and learn from him how to rely on her. She has so much to bestow on us. She is Mother. This talk is meant to be a bird's eye view, a vision of a lived Marian devotion at a deep level, totus tuus, totally yours. Marian devotion is not to be contrived, complicated, or confusing, but it can be if we focus on external practices more than on a devoted way of life. We should have external practices, novenas, prayers, images, ways that we live out and show our devotion to her. But we also want to focus on the interior heart from which these devotions spring. Like a good mother, Our Lady brings the best out of our hearts. She brings clarity and simplicity to clear out anything contrived, complicated, or confusing. True devotion is a way of life, of living fully. It's not burdensome, a burdensome practice or an obligation. We want to live joyfully as a child of Mary. If you want to progress in true devotion to Our Lady, ask questions of her and our Lord. Run to her as a child does for guidance. Spend time with her. Ask her to reveal herself to you as your mother. She loves you uniquely with a love that is only for you. She doesn't love you with a generic love that impersonally goes out to all humanity because our Lord ordered it so on the cross. He didn't turn over his mother to be used. He lovingly placed each of us individually into her care, knowing that we could receive personally from her. And he enables her to have a love that is uniquely and perfectly given to each one of us. Go to her in success with gratitude, in failure with honesty, in any difficulty seeking aid, in joys with an eagerness to share. St. Maximilian Kolbe summarizes the result of this devotion well. Quote, to let her into all hearts, to bring her into being within all hearts, that by entering those hearts and taking most perfect possession of them, she may there give birth to the sweet Jesus, God, and there raise him to perfect age. What a beautiful mission. I will lead you in the novena prayer now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, ever virgin.
O heart most pure, most noble, most perfect image of the adorable heart of Jesus. We humbly entreat you to intercede for us and to obtain for us the favors we petition for in this novena, if it be the holy will of God to grant them, and if not, to ask for us whatever graces we most need. We desire, by this novena, which we offer in your honor, that you will always be, after the heart of Jesus, the object of our love and devotion. Through your immaculate heart, we offer to your divine Son all our thoughts, words, and actions of this day and all our days. We pray for Francis our Pope, for our bishops, for all priests, and for the conversion of all sinners. We beg your powerful intercession for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Through your maternal heart, we ask God's blessings upon our families, upon all who have been good to us for the Lord's sake, for all the living and the dead who are dear to us, and for all for whom we have been asked to pray.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
May Mary's Heart Immaculate
be forever praised.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. God bless you.